8:31 the time. So Bruce Rave spent 10 years at Capitol Records. He was just instrumental in signing people like The Knack and Iron Maiden and Missing Persons and The Motels and Weird Al, and the list is endless. He now has a show here on Saturdays called Go Deep. It's at 8. He's here at 8:30. His Go Deep is 7 to 9, if I'm not mistaken, and I know that it is. The Go Deep show, first of all, is compelling because it's a radio program designed to expose listeners to just this emerging group of young artists. Bruce is also the manager for Trapdoor Social from Saturdays 7 to 9, the Go Deep program. We welcome Bruce Raven this morning. Hello, Bruce.
Good morning, Ed. Good morning, everybody. Great to be here.
It's great to have you this morning, man. So, I tell everybody this all the time. When we need an answer to something, to a new band, or we need a question answered about a new band, you're the guy we go to here. Very, very, very involved. Your show, I want to get into your show itself here in just a couple of seconds. But I want to kind of start off with the business of music, if that's okay. And I also want I also want to cover the Grammys with you because I know you watch the Grammys. You were instrumental in signing The Knack and The Motels and Weird Al. And as I watched the Grammys last night with a lot of the newer artists, I wonder how the industry has changed for the artist. Is it as big a deal as it used to for a new artist to get signed?
I'm going to say probably not, because I think that, you know, there was this feeling, if we're talking about the era when those bands first joined labels, there was the feeling that yeah, you had it, and you had some money. You weren't immediately rich, except for a few deals that were just over the top, like what we had to pay The Knack in those days. Okay. But generally speaking, I think now there's a certain feeling out there that maybe you don't need a label. Or the labels are not as essential. I think it depends a little bit on the kind of a band. I think if you look at the Grammys, for example, and the people almost completely, if you go down that list of the people who performed, they need to be on labels because they're very radio oriented. And the labels still dominate radio to a great extent. Not as much KXFM, our own Alyssa, listens to everything. She's amazing, right?
Right.
And she doesn't care where it came from. If it's good, it's good. And right. That is so refreshing. I'm so proud to be part of a radio station that has that philosophy.
Likewise.
But I think radio, and even now, as radio now watches streaming very closely. Right. So, of course, these labels now have departments where those people, all they do is hang out with the playlisters at Spotify and Apple Music and all those.
There's a question in there. So record companies used to use records purchased as a metric. How does Spotify and iTunes plays, how does that figure into the calculations?
Well, it's kind of, Billboard, for their chart, to give you an example of that whole thing, Billboard is now including Facebook Live streams into their charts somehow. I'm not sure how that's all going to work. But when it comes to the record companies, if you're talking about how does it fit in, do you mean in terms of, for example, when they're considering signing a band, or is
right,
this after the
right.
band is already there?
Right. Does a million plays on those sites equal a million records purchased?
No, it probably is one tenth of that.
Right.
If you're thinking of albums, I think it's considered to be one tenth. So that could be like maybe 100,000.
Okay.
Maybe in traditional sales, for example.
Okay.
But a lot of the labels, they're looking at those metrics. They're looking at Spotify. They're looking at YouTube. They're looking at, you know, how many Instagram followers does a band have?
Right, right. And is touring the still the best way to push an album? And are there bands that make or have made great music but didn't tour well or weren't really good live?
Oh, I think every decision is made on its own in terms of that. But having a great live show is still key. And obviously for bands, touring is one of the things that is so, so important. And one of the things that's broken my heart over the last 12 months is the fact that these people who are putting out great music like you and I are both fans of Jaguar Jones, for example.
Right.
And I heard you raving about her last week on your show.
Love
and,
her.
You know, the list is just incredible over the last 12 months. People who couldn't go out to support it, because once a band goes out to tour, then the machinery kicks in. There are all these things they can do promotionally when they go into a town, not to mention meeting the fans and playing for the fans and all those kinds of things. It could be going into radio stations, for example, to do shows like what they used to do with you.
Right, which we're going to do again once we're able to. I can't wait to do that. I can't wait to sit in here with a band, have them perform, and then ask them a couple of questions. If you're just joining us, we're talking to Bruce Rave. He's the host of Go Deep. That happens on Saturdays from 7 to 9 p.m. And on your show, Bruce, we often hear a band for the very first time anywhere. Aside from Jaguar Jones, who I know that we both love, who are a couple of bands that are exciting you right now?
Wow. Well, I would have to say, if I was going to give you a whole album, and this is a band that also gets a lot of play on KXFM, Kiwi Jr. from Toronto. Yeah. And I think they kind of combine garage music with really melodic guitar stuff, and which is what garage music can be anyway. And I think there's a real need for that right now. I think there's a different tone in the country this year, and a lot of the music that's out there is very formula. The alternative world has become very, very pop, and the indie world has a lot of very soft and slow singer-songwriters that are doing very well. I mean, Arlo Parks is great, not particularly my you know, cup of tea.
Right.
But, you know, I mean, that stuff, massive respect to it. But I think the world is ready for more of the faster, more fun kind of things. And on the other hand, I don't think there's a term for it. I've asked people in England, what are you calling bands like Fontaine's DC and Idols and Shame and Squid? And the answer is, we don't really have a term for it. Post-punk, maybe, you know? And I don't know if they're necessarily fun, but they're fast. And that's a real dominant sound right now. And I've been playing a lot of that stuff. I think a lot of that stuff is really good.
Right. They've all got kind of this just hint of 60s mid-punk to me. It's like this odd hint of combining punk from the 60s and this brand new punk that we've just now become familiar with. Did you watch the Grammys last night? I know you did.
Yes, I did.
Did you have a favorite performance? Because for me, this is one of the better Grammys that we've seen in the last several years. I loved the performances. Did you have a favorite performance in the Grammys?
Yeah, and I would agree with you. I think they pulled it off as well as they possibly could. I would have to say that, well, I'll give you a performance and I'll give you something that was very heartwarming for me.
Okay.
But I will say that my favorite performance, and it was the same two guys, Anderson .Paak and Bruno Mars.
Okay.
And they did that old R&B tune, which was great, with R&B choreography that looked like it was out of the 60s.
Right.
And then, of course, they came back and did the Little Richard tribute together, which was just incredible. And I've seen Anderson .Paak live. I didn't even know if I'd like him or not. And he was incredible. I saw him at a festival. And I would have to say that. It was really great to see Haim on there.
Right.
As it was a nice nod to something that's a little bit more on the indie side, you know, stuff that we do. The Grammys, of course, has really moved away from that. You know, for example, the Strokes won Album of the Year.
And I was glad of that.
That was great to see. Fiona Apple got some nice love. But these are typically not included in a Grammys telecast anymore, which are really, you know, geared more to the top 40 world. I want to give a quick shout out to, I thought it was great that they featured a couple of our LA venues that have been shuttered for a year,
right?
Including the Troubadour, and Hotel Cafe is great too.
Yes.
And so it was really nice. The Apollo in New York, I love the fact that they got people from those venues on camera to present.
Right. That's one of the reasons I love the Grammys this year. It was a really class act, and I found that the In Memoriam, and they do the In Memoriam better than anyone else. I thought that was a really, really well, and it can get kind of cheesy and soapy sometimes, but having Brittany Howard sing You'll Never Walk Alone was just amazing. So I thought that. My personal favorite performance was Lil Baby and The Bigger Picture. I thought that that combination with Killer Mike was an amazing, powerful performance and a powerful song.
Yeah, I came in, you know, Brittany Howard actually had You'll Never Walk Alone in a commercial.
Right, it's like a Johnny Walker. It's like a Johnny Walker ad.
It was a Johnny Walker ad, right. And I was so glad to see her do it again. I've always loved that song anyway.
Yeah.
And by the way, she's got a cover of the Jackie Wilson song, You Love Just Keep Higher and Higher by Jackie Wilson. I forget the part that's in the parentheses right now, but Higher and Higher. And, you know, and then there's a version on YouTube, if people are Brittany Howard fans, there's a version of her on YouTube performing it on the Jules Holland show at the end of 2019. I think it was New Year's Eve or something like that, you know, out of England. So, yeah, she's amazing.
Excellent. Yeah, agreed. 1,000%. And also the Lionel Richie tribute to Kenny Rogers. The entire show flowed well. The artists were great. They were really generous with each other when accepting an award. They accepted and thanked their competitors. I thought that the entire thing was a class act. Before we roll, I want to ask you about Trapdoor Social. A great band who I love here. I love here in the studio. I love wherever we can get them. What are your plans for them as we open up?
Well, and they're right on that list of bands. They were really developing some incredible buzz at the time that everything got shut down a year ago. And people were coming up to me when I was at LA shows saying, well, I'm really hearing a lot about Trapdoor Social. They had really found their niche. I mean, they've always been a great band. And you never know when that spark is going to come. So they have a new album that's going to include some of the songs that have already been released. The album, literally, Skylar was in the studio. Skylar, the lead singer, was in the studio on Saturday cleaning up one vocal that he wanted to upgrade. And we should have everything completed and out. It will be this spring. And as of this weekend, we don't have a release date yet. So there will be a new album. They're working on they're now at a point where they feel safe enough getting back together. Skylar's got a backyard so they could be outside jamming, playing. And they're coming up with a brand new killer set that they're going to be excited to play for people. And thank you for the love. And thanks to KXFM that has been Trapdoor Social supporters almost since the band really put out their first music.
Yeah, no kidding. You know what? And again, Alyssa and Tyler have been all over that. And you're one of the longest serving, but this will be my last question before we roll out of here. You're one of the longest serving jocks here at KX. Tell me about how you got here and your first meeting with Tyler. How was that?
Well, it was actually a perfect segue, Ed, because KX was doing its first annual show. And it was over on the Laguna Canyon, and they were looking for bands that are willing to play. Matt Costa headlined, and Tyler got in touch with me because the station was already really into the Trapdoor Social first album. And Tyler got in touch, and we talked about Trapdoor Social playing the show, which happened. And then I heard that the original music director, Mookie, was leaving the station, and which was not true. Mookie had just taken a new job with a new radio station, but he was still going to do his Sunday night show for a while. But at the time, I thought he was leaving, and I emailed Tyler because I already had this radio show on a couple different stations, and I emailed Tyler, and I said, what I do is a lot like what you do, and what would you think about running my show. I will do a KX version of my show. And that's how it started. He tried me out midnight on Thursday night for an hour, and it grew from there. And I just love being part of it. I love it. Just as you know, right. Such a great group of people. And I have to give kudos to Tyler and, for a station of this size, the quality of programming, whether it's you guys during the day, the weekly shows, the amount of time everybody puts into it, it's really inspiring.
Yeah. Well put. Beautifully put. Bruce Rave, Go Deep, happens Saturdays, 7 to 9 p.m. Bruce, I can't thank you enough for calling in this morning and being a part of the program.
Well, thanks for having me, Ed. Great to chat with you as always, and I'm looking forward to your... you got a big indie feature coming up in about, 15, 16 minutes, right?
Yeah, we do.
I love that you're doing that. And I said indie. I meant to say intro.
I know what you meant.
We got to make sure the listeners do. They should definitely hang in for that. All right, Ed. Thank you, man.
Bruce, thank you, man. We'll talk to you soon.
You got it.
All right. Bye.